find a tater. Whether here or over there, child, those taters are everywhere. They always try and give advice, and I've never seen a tater do what's right. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Here's the recipe for tater stew. Take your righteous prayers because they avail it much. So get out on your knees and show them taters your stuff. Let the onions, garlic, and bell peppers be the magnificent three. God, Jesus Christ, and last but not least, the Holy Spirit. They can't even handle me. Cut them and peel them with the sword, which is the word. Wash them with the blood of Christ. It cleanses all things. You mean you haven't heard? Top it up with the shield of faith. Have patience, let it simmer. It will be well worth the wait. Now get back in this church and be all you can be. Cause God's work can't go on if a tater is in the lead. You see, this story is not to offend, but it's only to try and keep us from sin. And I pray that none of us and the taters are kin. Amen.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
We face a hard-nosed devil on this morning. Amen. But we thank God for this, the power of the Holy Spirit that's present with us. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Amen. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, the blood that came streaming down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let the hearers receive on today, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bible, 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2. We're going to read verse 1 through 14. You got it? Amen. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went up to with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophet were at Bethel, came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as thy soul liveth, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what shall be done for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of my spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Came to pass that they still went on and talked. And behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, and the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Amen? Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers, doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, and the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I don't feel like I need to press hard today because, you know, you got to either get it or you don't. You got to either want it or you don't. Amen. 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 Ain't nobody got to tell you to come get that check. You either got to go get it. Amen. This is better than a check. It's the word of God. Amen. I want to use for a thought the reward of commitment. The reward of commitment. Amen. The reward of commitment. Book of 2 Kings is a book that brings us to a close of one prophet that did a great, there's so many great things in Israel. He was a father in Israel because when no one else would stand against the world, against the false prophets, against opposition, Elijah did. His name, Elijah, and we talked some about, mentioned him on Thursday night, but his name means Jehovah is God. And he was sent here, he was put in the earth to remind the people who God was, to remind them of who God really is. Amen? And that's why when he was on Mount Carmel, he went up and challenged the prophets of Baal. And as he challenged them, he said, let the God who is really God answer by fire. And the Bible says that the fire licked up the sacrifice, and as he prayed, then God prevailed and showed himself strong. And then the people decided that today we're going to choose God, and he was able to get the upper hand on the enemy. Amen. And so it was a time where he had become depressed because after this great victory, Jezebel said that you're going to be just as one of those prophets that you destroyed on today. By tomorrow, I'm going to have your life too. So he ran and hid. Now, some of us, we're just like Elijah, a man of like passions, the Bible says, that he had power to pray. But look at this. Because of one woman's word, because of one person's threat, it put him in a state of depression after he had such a great victory. Many times in our life, we have such great victories and so many great things happen in our life. But all it takes is one thing to knock us out of the mood. You know, kind of like you are this morning. It only takes one thing to knock us down. And we forget all the stuff that God has done for us. We forget how good God has been. We forget what great victories we have attained. We forget what great blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We forget all of that because of one situation. Shame on us, but we're no different than the powerful prophet Elijah. Well, God told him, he said, God, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. I just want to go. And God said, you know, I got a deal for you. Here we go. I want you to go anoint some people, and in your stead, I want you to anoint Elijah, the son of Shaphat. I want you to anoint him in your stead that he can be prophet so that somebody will be able to do your job while you're gone. And we should make sure that if we're going to, you know, if we're going to ask the Lord to move us from something, that we do our part by training the next person to take care of whatever we're moving from. Amen. 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 And so anyway, he meets Elijah. Elijah meets Elisha, and he walks by him, and here's Elisha. He's working. He's working, and he's on the 12th yoke of oxen. In other words, his father, his family owned a plantation, and basically they were out plowing the fields, and he was on the 12th yoke of oxen. He was pretty much the leader, the foreman of the group. And Elijah passed by him, and just the cloak of his mantle passed by, and he put it upon him, and it touched him. And from that day, he wanted to follow the man of God. The anointing touched him to the point that he committed himself from that very moment. And some of us, God can do so much for, and we don't want to commit. We know who we are. You know, I'm this. This is just how I am. I don't believe it take all of that commitment to church and to God for God to appreciate you. Yeah, it take more than what you offer. Amen. We don't offer enough to God. Amen? And so from that day, he was committed because the first thing he did, he said, he went behind him. He said, let me go tell my dad and my mom bye. He went and told his mother and father bye, kissed them, and he took the oxen that he was using to work with. You see, God called people that's already willing to work. If you lazy and you don't want to work, then God probably didn't call you. Amen. But he's calling people who are willing to work. Amen. This man left the job, the work that he was doing to follow him. He killed the oxen. He barbecued them. Amen. Had a feast and fed the people that worked with him and said, I'm gone. And look, he took the plow that he was plowing with and used it as fire to offer the sacrifice. Amen? And so what he was saying was, I'm not coming back to this because God got something else for me. And sometime we need to make a stand. If you're going to be committed, you need to say, I'm not going back to those things, but I'm going on to be with whatever God has me to be with. Amen. Amen. He took hold of ministry and he said, I'm not going to let it go. Amen. So now here we are. He spent some time with Elijah. And Elijah, being one of the chief prophets of Israel of that day, he went to all the places where the school of the prophets, he went to all those places, amen, where the prophets were. They were everywhere he went. He developed a school of prophets so he would always have somebody that can teach the word and that could hear from God. Amen. And that's why we're here. We ought to be ready to be able to teach the word, and we ought to be all ready to hear from God. Amen. And so here it is in chapter 2. We find, and it says, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went up to Elisha from, went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now here they were at a place of Gilgal. Now, the thing that we need to focus on is, as the thought and the topic is, the reward of commitment. I'm going to show you the reward of the commitment of Elijah and the reward of commitment of Elisha. Amen. And so, when we look at the first thing I want you to focus on is the reinforcement of his commitment. Elijah wanted to reinforce the commitment of Elisha. He wanted to make sure that this young man understood that you have to be committed in order to be rewarded. We live in a microwave generation because we don't really want to cook up nothing because it takes too much time. So we'd rather just throw it in the microwave. We do the same thing spiritually. We don't want to learn and grow and develop into what God wants us to be by receiving the word. We think that if I get a book and I get me a holler, I can preach. Amen. Anyway, you don't have to say it. I'll say it. We think that if we just go to church a few times, that God's going to turn my life around and I'll never have any trouble. It's not going to happen. Not going to lie to you. We think that if I just praise him once or twice a month, or maybe I go to church, you know, we got those CME Christians, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. If I just go a few times a year, then everything's going to be all right. Well, it's not going to be all right. It may be for a moment, but not always. Because the devil is as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And if you ever look, you'll find out that if he's like a lion, he's looking for somebody who's out of the fold, who's hanging out by themselves, who's not in the ark of safety or in the multitude of safety. Amen? We have to find ourselves gathering together so that we can get a word from God. We can be able to be in the place of safety because the lions never run in the herd and attack. They always wait for a straggler. All right, let me get off that. Amen. I'm not a straggler. Tell yourself, I'm not a straggler. And so he looked at the reinforcement of his commitment. He was aiming to reinforce the commitment of Elisha by testing him and trying him by offering him that you can be relieved of your duty. Amen. And sometimes that's what we want. I just want to be relieved of this burden. I don't feel like doing that today. I don't want to do that right now. I'm just tired. Well, Jesus got tired carrying the cross, but he carried it. Amen. He fell a few times, but he still got up. Yes, all right, let me go on. He says, and they were at Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is a special place. Gilgal is the place of rolling away. Gilgal is the place not only of rolling away, but is the place of new beginning. Gilgal. Say Gilgal. Gilgal. It is the place of memorial. Amen. It is the place where you remember God. Amen. This is the place of separation, a place of circumcision. Somebody say amen. When I look at Gilgal, here they were in the place of Gilgal, the rolling away. This is where they came over to enter into the promised land, and the waters rolled away. Man, this is the place of new beginning. It is where they had a new beginning. It is the place where they celebrated the first Passover after coming out of Egypt. Somebody say amen there. So it was a new beginning. It was the place of new instruction. And so they were at Gilgal, and look, it's not only that, but this is the place where when Joshua, as I said, they came over into the promised land, it is the place where the water Jordan or parted, and it is the place of memorial because Joshua took 12 stones out of the Jordan and he placed them at Gilgal as a memorial that God can get you to the place where he promised to get you to. So they were in Gilgal. They were in the place where they had to remember God. So in his place or in the time of reinforcing the commitment of Elisha, he took him to the place where he would remember God, that he would reflect on what God has done, and he would reflect on the things that God rolled out of his life. And look, and I want to show you something else. It is the place also, according to Joshua chapter 5, it is the place also where they made knives out of rocks. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me, y'all. I hope this resonating your spirit. There's a place where they made knives, and not only that, but it's the place of circumcision. After Joshua made the knife, he said, come here, let's cut some stuff away. These young men had grew up in the wilderness, and look, Moses was a man that didn't really make a whole lot about separation. He just had a multitude. He had the mega church. Come on and say amen. But Moses didn't want to do circumcision. Moses didn't want to do circumcision because even his wife had to circumcise their children. And she got mad with Moses because he wouldn't circumcise them. It was symbolic of something. Amen. And so here it is. It's the place of separation. It's the place where you get rid of some things. Amen. And so this is where your faith, this is where your commitment is reinforced when you decide that I got to cut away some stuff. I got to get rid of some stuff. And when you start saying that in your mind and in your heart, then your commitment is starting to become reinforced. You start to say, I got to get rid of this because this is causing me not to be committed. This is hindering me from being all I can be in God. These things I got to let go, and I got to let go of some people. I got to stop going some places. I got to stop doing some things because it's hindering my commitment to God. Can anybody agree with that? Amen. And so here it was, they were at Gilgal, but they didn't stay at Gilgal, the place of separation, the place where some things are rolled away, the place where you remember God. Amen. They were in that place, and then he tells them, he says, and Elijah said unto Elijah, verse 2, stay here, or tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now here they were at Gilgal, first off. They were at Gilgal, and he tells them that you can stay right here. You can stay right here in your new beginning. You know how we do. Oh, I got newness of life. Oh, I've been born again. But then God wants us to go on and live what we know. He doesn't want us to just stay babies. None of us that are born, if we were still babies. Now, what I'd look like if I laid around here and never learned to walk with my big old self? Who's going to carry me? Who's going to carry me? I'm still trying to drink a bottle. Who's going to feed me? We have to grow. There's a progression there, and we can't stay in one spot. Thank God for salvation and being born again. But now I need to know how to live in this life and stay saved. Amen. So here it is. He says that you can stay here at the beginning. You can stay here where all you do is reflect and remember God. You can stay here where you remember what God has done for you. But I'm going on to Bethel.
He said, you can stay here. But then he tells him, he said, I'm committed to this. He said, I'm so committed that I'm not going to stay at Gilgal. I'm not going to stay where I got my separation. I'm not going to stay where I parted from some things, but I'm going to go on to Bethel. Now, Bethel, what Bethel means is the house of God. Bethel, Beth, house, El, God. Bethel is the house of God. He said, I'm leaving Gilgal, and I got to go to the house of God. Now, how many of us ever say that, you know what, thank God for the new beginning, and the new beginning and the rolling away and the cutting away, the separation that I made ought to lead me to the house of God. You ought to have a desire to want to be at the house of God. It shouldn't be burdensome for you when you wake up on Sunday. You shouldn't say, oh, I don't really feel like going to church. Well, why don't you say that about work? Well, maybe you do, but you still go. Amen. Why don't you say that about the club? I don't feel like going to get all that smoke in my clothes and my sinuses will start acting up. Why don't you say that about the club? Why don't you say that about the domino party? Preach, Holden. Why don't you say that about some things at the ball game? I don't feel like with all that noise. I don't want to go all that jumping and running they do. I don't want to see that. Huh? But what we do, we say we don't feel like going to Bethel, to the church, to the house of God. Bethel was the place where the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Whenever you separate, whenever you have a new life, a new beginning, you should seek after the presence of God. Your commitment should be to the place where God is. Amen. And so Bethel, it was the place, as I said, where the ark was kept, but it was also the place where Jacob dreamed a dream. It was the place where he saw the ladder that was from heaven to earth and the angels ascending and descending. Amen? It was the place where God revealed himself. So Bethel is the place of revelation. So he was saying, now that you understand how to be separate from the world, now you need to go to the place where God reveals himself, and it is a place of revelation where God not only reveals himself to you, it is where God reveals who you are. You learn about who you are at the house of God. You learn that you're not trash, but you're God's treasure at the house of God. You learn that you're not helpless, but you got hope at the house of God. You learn, hallelujah, you learn that you're not in bad health, but God has given you healing at the house of God. I'm going to preach anyway. You don't have to say nothing. You learn at the house of God that you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. You learn at the house of God that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish I had somebody, about three people, that's all I need. You learn at the house of God that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, and that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you learn at the house of God. I learn because I read my Bible. No, you don't. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to not only read your word, but you need to hear the word. I wish I had somebody this morning that feel what I'm feeling. Amen. You got to read and hear the word. And when you hear the word, it reinforces your commitment, because it challenges you to be better. It causes you to want to have a commitment to God that is inseparable because of his commitment to you. You learn at the house of God as Paul learned. He said, I'm persuaded. You get persuaded here. You get persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God. And that's his commitment to you. But what about your commitment to him? Preach anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. You may not jump and holler, but you're going to get this one. Amen. They went to Bethel, the place of revelation. He was committed to go to Gilgal and to stay, or to leave Gilgal and to go to Bethel. Then it says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, there are some people that speak on behalf of God at the house of God. They came to Elijah and they said unto him, knowest thou? Now I want to point this out though. Notice that there was no sons of the prophets at Gilgal that told him anything. Because Gilgal is your personal time with God, where he cut away some things in your life. Gilgal is where you realize and remember God and recognize who he is and acknowledge him and have a revelation of him. And then you say, I need to do better. And you go to Bethel so you'll get a further understanding of who God is and what he wants you to do. And when you get there, there's some people that'll speak to you. That's the first place that he heard from the prophets, was at Bethel. And so he said, do you know? They said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. He said, I know something's going to happen, but don't worry. Don't worry me with this right now. You see, some things, even, you know, you'll hear from people that are Christians that you need to say, I don't want to hear right now because I'm too committed to be bothered with it. It's some things you got to say that I'm too committed to be bothered with that stuff right now. Although it's good, and I know you're a person of God, I know you're a Christian, but right now ain't the time, because I'm focused on something. I'm focused on doing the will of God. I'm focusing on fellowship and fellowship. I'm focused on commitment. Amen. I'm focused on giving my all to God and being submitted to God. Amen. We got to learn to be submitted, because the Bible says first to submit to God and resist the devil, and he shall what? Flee from you. If you want a real separation from the devil, I dare you to submit to God. If you want the devil to leave you alone, quit going where the devil is and then say, you know, that old devil got me. No, you quit walking over there to his house. Quit fooling. You shouldn't have never went over there in the first place. You need to separate yourself from him and submit to God. God, I give you all of me. Amen. I give you my heart, my hands, my mouth, my eyes. And so therefore, I ain't got nothing to worry about, because I'm submitted to God and I resist the devil. Even if he pulls on me, I ain't going. Even if he tug at me, you don't have nothing here. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay committed to what God has me committed to. And he shall flee. In other words, that word flee means the devil will hide from you, because he'll realize how strong you are because of your commitment and your submission to God. Preach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says in verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Now the Lord sending him to all these places before he go. And this man is so committed, he said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. He said, the Lord is leading me there, and since the Lord's leading, I'm going. You can stay. See, your relationship with God is a personal thing. I'm going to go. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to serve. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to commit. I don't know what you're going to do. You're willing. If you're willing, you're welcome. Amen? Amen. So now look at this. He says, and the Lord said to me, I'm going to Jericho. And he sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul live, I will not leave thee. I like what he kept saying. He said, as the Lord lives first. And we know that's going to always be. In other words, he said, I'm going to always be committed. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I'm going to be committed. He says, and so they came to Jericho. Jericho, amen. The word Jericho is very unique, because you have different places where they give you different meanings of the word. But Jericho is, it means, one meaning of it is a fragrance. And then you take what happened at Jericho along with the meaning, then it means the smell of victory. Because what happened at Jericho is that they got victory and they had a walk of faith. I wish I had somebody now. And so they went to Jericho. Now, notice what happened. They went from Gilgal, the place of separation, the place of rolling away, the place, and you're going to hear this over and again because you need to get in your spirit, and it's a place of memorial where they remembered God, the place of separation, the place where they made knives to give a circumcision, amen? Then they went to the house of God, Bethel, the place where God revealed himself, amen? And then after that, they went to Jericho after God revealed himself, after they separated, they went to the place of victory and the place where you have to take a walk of faith. Yeah. Amen. The place where you walk in faith. When they got to Jericho, Joshua got to Jericho and didn't have to fight. Been fighting all this other time. They got to Jericho and they didn't have to fight. Amen. It's the place where when they got to Jericho, he met up with an angel. And he had fought so much, the Bible said that Joshua's hand cleaved to the sword. Yeah. In other words, it stayed in there. And he went up, he saw afar off a man standing because he looked like he could fight. Joshua said, oh, that's one more right there. Let me go see who we fought. Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or are you for our enemy? And the answer that the angel of the Lord, which is the incarnate Christ, before his incarnation, the pre-incarnate, the answer that he gave was very, very unique, and it puzzled me for a moment. But he said, I'm for neither.